Well, hello everybody, and welcome back to the Applied Human Design podcast. I am your host, Heather, and as always, I am so happy that you are here spending a little bit of time with me today. What are we doing today? So today we are moving into part five of our top to tail deconditioning journey. We have already covered, and you might need to go a couple of episodes back. We have already covered the head center, the Ajna center, the throat center, and the G slash identity center. And today we are moving into the ego slash heart center. So if you have not yet listened from the top, I would suggest if you can go back and listen to this kind of like deconditioning journey from the top, just because, yeah, I give much more context in the head, and it is designed to be a journey, right? That you move from the top down, that we go from top to tail. But if this is your favorite energy center, who am I to deny you the pleasure of diving straight in to the ego center? It's your life, and your adventure is in your hands. Yes, today we'll be talking about the ego center. This is one of my favorite energy centers to speak about. I don't actually have a plan today. Basically, like this week, I'm tired just for something new. I wasn't 100% sure that I was going to put out an episode today, but then I was like, you know what? I feel like the ego center is the kind of thing I can just jump on and talk about. I've spoken about it so much that, yeah. I'm sure whatever wants to be said will be informative, and if it's not, go find someone else to listen to. Okay, I'm joking. Stay here. Stay here. Okay, so before we get into that, I wanted to talk about something that, yeah, is just like really important to think about this time of year, and that is energy protection, magical protection, and psychic work protection. So, whether you are a magical practitioner or not, but let's just say, especially that you are, and I'm going to assume that if you are here listening to this, or if you're in my sphere, in my world, then you are at least drawn or dabble upon your little, dabble your little fingers into various activities regarding magical practices and potentially divination or spirit communication, or just working with deities or whatever it is, right? Whatever you do, you might not even notice that what you're doing is magical work. But let's just assume, okay? And at this time of year, and now this is both for those in the Northern Hemisphere, right? And also those in the Southern Hemisphere with me. At this time of year, the spirits, they're a little bit around, right? You would have heard many, many practitioners or educators in that referring to probably the veil being particularly thin at this time of year. So that is exactly what is happening. Now, the way that I would like you, or the way that I can help you hopefully think about it is that when you are in the Northern Hemisphere, right, you are in this transitional time, this seasonal time, this time in between of summer into winter, right? We are in, like, you're in the transitional season. This is a time of dying, okay? Not death, dying. The process of leaves changing and falling, right? The slow decaying, the slow dying process. And in the Southern Hemisphere, as we are in spring, in the season in between, the other way, like winter moving into summer, also in a transitional time, we are at a time of birthing, you know, slowly but surely. Things are coming back to life. Little animal babies are being born, right? And also, our spirits, especially those who do not cope well in cold climates, are also coming back to life. People are being outside more. People are leaving their homes and you know, coming back to life, right? And so, whenever you have birth, and whenever you, or whenever you have birthing, and whenever you have dying, Death is present, right? Death is present in both of these. Yeah, like if you think about just times prior to the last 100 years, right? A time of giving birth, it was like you didn't necessarily know if mother and child were going to make it, right? Like death and the risk of death was present in the process of birth. And even just thinking about it from a very esoteric and like zoomed out perspective would be that as soon as you're born, you are dying, right? And so, yeah, I don't know how well I'm explaining this, but at both these times of year, when birth is inherent in everything and when death and dying is inherent in everything, that veil between worlds, right? So when we're talking about the veil between worlds, we are talking about the not exactly like a barrier, but the invisible, what could you say? Like the difference, okay, between the very human real world experience that we are all partaking in and the other world, right, which would be the world in which anything like all the spirits live, so both like ancestral spirits, but also land spirits, nature spirits, like animal spirits. Who else? Like, if you work with fairies, the fae, they're also part of the other world. You could also consider like mythical creatures, deities, all of these are all a part of the other world, okay? Our invisible allies, sometimes. Not allies, sometimes our invisible mischief makers. But anyway, so that is the other world, right? And so while we are moving through these periods of just our world being naturally more entrenched in dying and death, and coming back alive, that barrier is much more blended, right? The lines are incredibly blurred between those. Okay. And so all that is to say, this is just something that has become like been coming up again and again and again with my clients and just also people that I've been speaking to, that things are around. Some of those things are really wonderful. You know, I'm definitely someone who before I started working with spirits, I was like terrified of it, you know, again, like conditioned in that new agey belief of like you have to just like cleanse everything out of your house, right? But as I've slowly, you know, started working with spirits, I definitely do not believe. I believe most spirits and energies and entities are really nice to have around, or at least not causing any harm. And so that is fine. But then, yeah, there are some that you don't necessarily want in your space. And so I have been speaking to clients who have had that more negative or at least like creepy energy or entity around. And I will just say that when you are a magical practitioner of any kind, even if you're just whipping out your tarot deck to like do a daily pull, all right, if you are like tuning into something outside of yourself. And you know, I want to be like careful with this wording, right? Because I'm not saying that every time you like pull a tarot card, you're necessarily like getting messages from spirits. I'm sure a lot of the times when you're like just doing it intentionally, like you are, if you ask for a message from your higher self, then that's what you're getting, you know. But divination is also and has historically been a way of communicating with the dead or communicating with spirits or receiving messages from our deities, our protectors, and all of that, right? And so that is a magical act. And yeah, whenever you are practicing any kind of magical practices, you are becoming like a bit of a beacon, right? You are sending out little like magical radars into the spirit realm. And It does attract these energies, right? It attracts all kinds, and that is wonderful when we want to work with spirits and we want to work with our ancestors and entities and beings and helpers and all of these things, right? Because it's good for us because we get these allies to help us with divination and things like that. And it's, often good for them because they find practitioners who can speak for them or communicate for them and things like that. But all that to be said, at this time of year, I would just say be a little bit extra careful. And if you do not have awareness or just like knowing and understanding of how to protect yourself and how to protect your space, okay, if you are doing any kind of magical work in a house, and not if you're like lighting incense and things like that, like I don't mean like that. Like that, but if you are doing more intense, like magical practices or divination or anything like that, just at least know the basics of how to protect your space and how to set up like protective wards and things like that. Because you never know what's being attracted to you and your space. And again, 9 times out of 10, and this is what I have said to like my clients who have had issues, let's say, in the last few weeks. Mostly these beings are just curious. Like that is a really important thing to remember. It's like curiosity. Like just say you lived in like a really, well, let's use me for example. You live in quite a like normal small town. Not in a city, not anything like that. The spirits that are around, like the nature spirits and the beings that are around, are gonna be like, and you start like casting spells or invoking your ancestors and things like that, right? The spirits of the land are going to be like, that is really curious. We haven't experienced that much around here. Like, let's go see what she's up to. Like, let's see what's happening at that house. And so they're drawn towards it, right? And again, 9 times out of 10, it's curious. They're just curious, even if they feel like really ick or whatever. They don't mean you any harm. They're just like, what's she doing? Like, what is going on here? Right. And you don't want that in your space. Like, if they give you an icky feeling. So, you should know how to cleanse, how to protect, and just in case, how to banish, right? Just in case something a bit like yuckier does come about. So I would say definitely if you haven't worked on that, just dedicate a little bit of time this spooky season, this season of the witch as we come up to Halloween. To that, I know it can feel like the boring part of magical practice, but it's so important. And I have made my protection class 2.5 hours that go through all of this protection for yourself, protection for your home, and protection for, and banishing, right? Both for home and self. I've made it available for a donation of $5. So that will be linked in the show notes. Again, it hopefully goes through actual like useful practices, the difference between talismans and amulets. It goes through, working with spirits as protectors, ancestors as protectors, and how to give correct offerings for that, and all kinds of things. So that will be linked in the show notes. Whether it's my class or just doing your own research, reading lots of books, watching people on YouTube, listening to other podcasts, etc., just knowing is so important. It's also, and I speak about this in the class, but I'll just touch on it here. Like when you become the witch friend or the psychic friend or the magical friend, you take on a level of responsibility. And you take on a level of responsibility that is, people will come to you. Like whenever something unexplainable happens, people will turn to the witch. People will turn to the magical practitioner, okay? And they will look to you for answers. And knowing what's happening is one thing, but knowing how to fix it or how to intercede is another thing, right? So just learning these things so that you can be, so that you can fulfill the role of being the friend group or the family or the communities. Witch, healer, magical practitioner, etc. Like knowing what to do and also knowing how to do it is so, to me, it's just part of of taking on this role, right? It's like there are incredible things about understanding the things that most people don't take time to understand and learning about it and experiencing it and having magical experiences and stuff like that. There's also a responsibility that comes with that. Anyway, that is all on that. So we've got less than 3 weeks now, much less than 3 weeks of enrollment still being open for the Applied Human Design Practitioner training. So it closes, enrollment closes on probably the 30th of October, maybe the 31st, we'll see. But I start live classes on the 1st of November. This training is like I've said before, I'm so proud of this training. I would not be running it anymore if I wasn't so proud of how it's been reorganized, restructured, and is now entirely new curriculum pretty much. This is not just repeating and rehashing something you could read about human design in any book or from someone else's Instagram or hear about it on someone else's podcast or anything like that. It's not just like repeating verbatim information. This is the result and the accumulation of my experience for 4 years working hands-on with clients, right? This is a real human-based practitioner training. And so again, I'm super proud of it. If you would like to enroll, the how-to will be in the show notes. And then if you do have any questions about it, best places on Instagram DMs. I'm getting better at emails, but I'm still much more slower at emails than I am at DMs. Okay, so let's get stuck into talking about my Instagram, where you can ask me questions, is at the Human Design Hedgewitch. But I'm pretty sure if you look up Heather Mann, it will come up too, but honestly, don't know. Human Design Hedgewitch, that's how to find me. Okay, so let's get stuck into talking about the ego center. So physiologically, we are looking at the part of the body that is, what direction is this? Left of the center of your chest. It's a pretty small energy center when you're actually looking at the human design chart. It's only got 4 gates on there, off there, and it's like this little triangle. So it's sometimes called the ego center. It's sometimes referred to as the willpower center. It's sometimes referred to as the heart center. It connects to the thymus. I believe I'm getting that right. I should have done some sort of notes, but I believe that's right. This energy center, wow, what doesn't it do, right? It's small, but it packs a punch. So, we've spoken about the identity center, the G center, and that being one of the half of the hearts. So you could think of it as 2 halves of the heart center, right? And so in the G or identity center, you have that soul, you have that, you could refer to it, and I do not like to categorize these as higher and lower, but that just for you to help conceptualize it, right? So when I say like the higher heart, I mean that part of the heart that's like just deeply connected to the soul and all that is and all of that, right? And then when you have like quote unquote the lower heart, you have that part of our heart that is more of our personality, that is here on earth, that loves and digs in and breathes and gets stubborn and refuses to give in, right? So when you think and when you say something like, oh, that person shows such heart, you are referring to their willpower. And so you are referring to this ego center, heart center, willpower center, right? So that's what lives in there. The ego center is what gives us our unique, wonderful personality, right? It is this really, I don't know, I think this is just such an incredible energy center when we know how to dance with it and when we don't get too trapped in the not self. When we do get too trapped in the not self, we are falling into those not self situations of the ego center, which is trying to prove our worth, trying to prove that we are enough, doing things just to show everybody else how worthy we are. So even if I just say that, it should really bring up some realizations and just some knowing that in the world, there is just a countless number of people, and all of us, again, who are living from the not self of this energy center. The not self of this energy center is so desperate for love, and underneath that, to know that we are fundamentally deserving of living on this planet, right? That we are fundamentally deserving of even being alive, even breathing, even being human, okay? So if this is the energy center that makes us human rather than just like, and you know, unique personality-ed humans rather than just floating balls of soul, right? But actually makes us unique little beings. And so we're trying to decide within this energy center, do I like this person that I am, this human that I am? Is this human that I am likable? And in other people's ego centers and personalities, we're trying to decide, do I like the person, the human that they are, right? It's the place where we have the most room for creativity and just self-expression and bringing ourselves to light in many different ways. You know, there is so much creative alchemy potential in the ego center, because this is, again, this is just the energy center where you form a personality and you play with a personality, and you play with all the different ways of expressing and bringing ego to life. That is what ego is. It is knowing I am a human, and I'm not a floating ball of soul that is just like everybody else. And because I am not a floating ball of soul that is just like everybody else, I'm different. And that means I'm allowed to have my own points of view. I'm allowed to have my own emotions. I'm allowed to think in different ways, act in different ways, dress in different ways. A world or a way of thinking that tries to homogenize people is basically trying to stamp out the ego center. Now, the way that I like to describe the difference between, let's zoom out, okay? So obviously if you, and I'm assuming that a lot of you have played or been within various spiritual communities, and in many, 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 many spiritual communities, ego is the enemy. This is what we want to eradicate, get rid of. I know I've said this in this deconditioning experiment before, but just to rehash it again, I do not seek to or want to eradicate my ego. It is the thing that keeps me human. It is the thing that keeps me knowing I am different to everybody else. I am unique to everybody else. What I seek to eradicate or like tame, or at least not live from, is the ego with a small e that says, oh, I just have to like do this thing or be seen in this specific way or have this particular item of clothing or receive this many likes or, you know, receive this many downloads or whatever it is. Then my human will be lovable, right? The ego with a small e thinks my human is inherently unlovable. And so I must do all these things, have all these things, be seen in a specific way, receive a specific amount of love, then it will be lovable. But that ego with a small e, it's like its thirst can never be quenched, you know? And this is, I think, what a lot of spiritual teachings are trying to say when they speak about like eradicating the ego. The problem is that, like, especially with New Age spirituality, teachings from really ancient systems of way of thinking, or just like full ways of thinking, full practices, even if it's full religions, full teachings and things like that, things get cherry-picked, right? Like, let's take this one thing and let's run with it. Let's take this one teaching from this huge practice and run with it and think like this is the answer to all our problems. And you lose the depth, you lose the context of these, again, giant, huge, endless ways of thinking about the world, right? And so that's ego with small e versus ego with a capital E. So this is just how I prefer to differentiate the two. Ego with a capital E is this inherent knowing that I am a human, but I am also like divine, right? I am also like spirit. I am also soul. I am also one part of this big whole. And as that, I like as the embodiment of God, as a embodiment of God, of divinity, I am inherently deserving of love. And I am inherently deserving of being alive. Okay, that's ego with a big E. It is like ego with a capital E also says, I can, you know, create this dance of life, this magical artwork of life in whatever way suits me and the ways that I want to present myself. It is naturally creative. If we all eradicated ego with a capital E, it would be the most boring world, the most boring world to live in, okay? Because there would never be any discussions, right? Because we would agree on anything, everything. So boring. We would all dress the same. We would all look the same. We would all think the same. We would all, it would just be boring, right? That's, yeah, and some people might be like, oh, but that sounds peaceful. Yeah, okay, the world might have peace if we eradicated ego with a capital E. but that's not what human peace is supposed to look like, right? Like human peace is completely accepting and loving and giving space for everybody's like ego with a capital E expression. Because, and this is the thing, right? If we are all operating from our ego with a capital E and not our ego from a small e, this is getting confusing. Try and keep up. It's getting confusing in my head too, don't worry. But as long as we are not operating from that ego with a small e, and we are operating from the part of us that is understands that we are unique and individual as well as one part of a giant divine whole, we also naturally keep in mind the well-being of everybody else around us. Okay. Let me see if there's anything else I want to talk about. Okay, if you want to work actively with deconditioning this energy center and that fight to receive love and receive validation and be enough. Again, it's tricky. This is not the kind of thing that happens overnight. It's not the kind of thing that you can, you know, just guilt yourself into like, oh, who am I to be desiring love and attention and validation again, right? You're human. It's what you do. And because we were not born into a world that is, you know, naturally very giving of compliments and giving of recognition and giving of validation, you know, I think it's something that we really we try to train people to think they earned it. You know, we give compliments people when we feel it. We give people compliments when we feel like they've earned it, you know, if they've worked really hard or they've graduated or they've dressed really nicely or yeah, again, it's like we're not so liberal with our compliments, our recognition, our love, our validation. And like on the flip side to that, because we're not used to it, people are not the best at receiving it when it does come too. You know, people are not the best at just letting themselves be admired, letting themselves be adored, letting themselves be seen, letting themselves receive, you know, feedback from others that is just, I adore you just because of who you are. You know, if I said that to you, I can guarantee a little part of your body would be like, ooh, you know, that's not right. Like I haven't done anything to deserve this compliment, right? So working actively and consciously with the ego center, with the willpower center. We haven't even spoken about the willpower side of things much. Okay, we'll circle back to that. It involves looking at this for yourself. Like, can you just behold the people you love and admire and give compliments for their beingness, right? And make that normal instead of feeling like they can only be complimented when they earn it, when they do something good. Just like look at them and be like, oh my goodness, you are the most like ravishing, beautiful, wonderful, incredible human I've ever laid my eyes upon. Just because of what you are, you know, just because of your energy. And on the flip side to that, get better at recognizing and receiving that for yourself. You know, when people do give you a compliment, if your automatic tendency is to be like, no, you know, that's not true, just allow yourself to be like, thank you. And even reflect on how they might be right. You know, don't just say thank you, but take that compliment with you through the day. Be like, wow, that person really saw me. Like, they really saw my humanity. They really saw my humanness, and they still admire me. Okay, so there's that. Yeah, and then also, oh, sorry, I just hit the microphone. there's also just giving yourself permission to desire attention and affection and love. You know, instead of fighting, oh, this is the other thing I want to talk about when it comes to the ego, right? It's like anything we fight against is only strengthened. Surely we have learned that by now as a humanity, right? When we fight against the ego, it becomes stronger. And so instead of fighting the ego's need for love and validation and attention, allow it. Like, I know I need attention. You know, I no longer need to have it in order to survive. And I no longer do things that go against my personal integrity or my personal, just way of looking at the world in order to receive it. But I need it, you know, I'm hungry for it. I'm a human. attention, affection, and love, right? It's natural to want that. And so you can give yourself permission to want that, permission to need that, instead of shaming that in yourself. Because when you shame it in yourself, you are literally denying the fact that you're human. And if you deny the fact that you're human, then you won't allow other people their humanity. When we don't allow other people their humanity, we become blind to like the fact that people will make mistakes and we can and will be imperfect. Because do you know what? They're seeking love, attention, and all of those wonderful human things as well, you know? And so they will make mistakes because they're loving that, you know? I think a really good way to display this or frame this or help bring this to life, an example, is to just think about, like, so I just finished watching season 2 of The Summer I Turned Pretty. And this is what is it? It's on Amazon Prime. So it's an Amazon Prime special show. The soundtrack is the greatest thing since the OC soundtrack. It is just unreal. It is literally as if I did the score for the entire show. Yes, most of the soundtrack is Taylor Swift songs, but they're just, everything is a hit. Everything is so good, just the timing. I'm like, if I was doing the soundtrack to my life, it would be this. But anyway, that's what I was going to talk about. But you should watch it, or just look up on Spotify like The Summer I Turned Pretty soundtrack, put it on and just sit in the sun and just vibe. Anyway, but this show is about a, you know, 16, or maybe she's like 17, but a teenage girl. And I think these shows do a really good job of reminding us that within each of us, there is an inner 16 or 17 year old girl who will do anything to feel loved and worthy, to receive attention, the attention that she so craves, right? That inner 16 or 17 year old girl, she doesn't just go away. She doesn't just die, right? She still lives inside of you. And so, you know, you kind of see throughout this show, like, she's trying to be a good person while her humanness is also running the show, and her humanness sees her sometimes making mistake after mistake, or what we could, you know, what we could from the outside perceive as a mistake, or perceive as something that hurts others, because she is just desperately trying to satiate that need for attention and for affection. And we all do it, you know, and yeah, just to, like, the more that we try and fight against that, or think like, oh, I shouldn't still do this kind of thing, I shouldn't still be doing that, and just allow ourselves that, and also recognize the inner 16, 17 year old girl inside of us, or, you know, whatever, that is looking and craving that attention, and just look at her and be like, oh my goodness, I know what you're looking for now. I finally understand what it is you seek, and that's okay. I love you for it, right? She will find peace, and we will find peace, right? As soon as you look at it and give her space, give her the floor, she will stop running the show. All right. Okay, I feel like I've already been speaking for quite a while, so let's just touch really briefly on the willpower side of things. Just, I guess it didn't feel as important to talk about today, and that's okay. But yeah, that, like I said, for such a tiny little energy center, physically small, it really does pack a punch. It really does hold a lot of our deepest fears, a lot of our deepest, like, well, honestly, I would say our deepest fear as a human, which is like, am I just inherently unlovable? Am I inherently unworthy of even existing, right? That lives in the ego center, that lives in the this energy center. Yeah, okay, so the willpower center, which, again, is the same energy center. It's just that ability to stick to things. That ability, like, when we talk about willpower, we are talking about it giving you, or you having, the capacity to see things through to the end. So if you have it, like, you know, technically, if you have it undefined, that capacity to follow through and, like, stick to your word and all of that kind of thing, it's much less consistent. It is an inconsistent experience of that. So that doesn't mean that you will never be able to follow through on things that you say you want to do. And, you know, I have an undefined ego center. I do not have that consistent ability. And yet I have a business that I've been running for 4 years. I think I follow through pretty well. Are there days when I'm like, yeah, I'll just stay in bed? Yes, absolutely. but I am able to recognize the difference between, like, an actual lack of energy and, like, a lack of, like, I don't want to do this, while still marrying that with, like, okay, but it is important to my human that I do follow through on this, if that makes sense. Like, I almost bring in my humanness and, like, my sense of this is who I am and this is the person I want to be to help me with that follow through. So yeah, when you're deconditioning this energy center, like, if you have it undefined and you're trying to figure out your own perfect balance of sticking to things and sticking to your word, and also just, like, being at peace with not always following through, I would say it's really, really individual, right? I know this is the thing. I know this is not the answer that people want, because people are like, oh, you mean I have to think for myself? Yes, I do. Like, any of these things, like human design, astrology, any of these things, they're not there to do the thinking for you, or the feeling for you, or the deciding for you. It is still up to you to take this information and personally reflect on it and decide, right, what areas of my life do I actually just, like, is it actually in my best interest and my personal sense of who I want to be to hold myself accountable and actually follow through on things I say I'm going to do? And are there areas in my life where I will allow more of that inconsistent nature and I will not be as intense about following through and sticking to my word, and I'll give myself much more flexibility? And, you know, just, I'm trying to think of some personal examples, but obviously for things in my business, especially things that people pay for. So I'm not going to wake up one morning and be like, I don't feel like doing my client calls today. Like, absolutely not, unless I'm sick and then I'll reschedule. But that is just part of my personal philosophy that, and you know, if that is living against my design, I honestly do not care, because that is living true to my personal sense of integrity, right? And just who I want to be as a business owner. And that also goes for most plans with friends as well. Like, I'm not a big canceller on friends or like plans that I have. If plans are made in advance, and again, unless I'm sick or just really, really like just energetically cannot do it, then I will follow through on it. Again, it's just because that's the person I want to be. Like, that is just who, what I've sat with and decided upon, and that's who I want to be. trying to think of some examples. Maybe more in like my own spiritual practice, I give myself much more permission to be inconsistent and to not necessarily stick to things, you know, like and I've learned that about myself, you know, I will start new spiritual practices or personal practices or things like that, like come out raring, what is it? Guns blaring, whatever. And I'll be like, yeah, I'm going to meditate and do this very specific meditation every day for the next 30 days. And then it just doesn't happen. And instead of, you know, shaming myself or thinking like this makes me less of a worthy human, I'm like, okay, that's what it is, right? If my current practice is to be, you know, just mindfully drinking my coffee or dancing, eating an apple, or just listening to music and getting in touch with my feelings and things with that, and that is my practice in that day, and you know, just knowing that it will change week to week, month to month, like there is literally very little consistency in what me like staying in touch with myself and getting in touch with myself looks like. And instead of thinking like, you know, oh, it's meant to be a routine, it's meant to like be a discipline or anything like that, I just don't do that, and I give myself that permission. Obviously the caveat to that is my work with deities. But again, that is where I've decided like my personal inconsistently doesn't match up with the level of integrity I want to have in that specific area of my life. And so I do push myself more into consistency and discipline in those areas. But that has been my choice, my reflections. And my own experiment, because it is all your own experiment. Okay, I'm gonna leave it there because I record on Zoom these days. Like I said last week, I don't really have any clue how long I've been speaking for, but I hope you had fun. As always, if you want to become more beautiful and just get good luck forever, leave a rating review for the podcast. 5 stars. Obviously, if you feel like giving 1 star, just go listen to another podcast. I will never understand people who are like, you know what, I'm going to listen to this, and if I don't like it, I'm going to go to the effort of leaving 1 star. Like, just stop listening. Anyway, love you lots. I really do. Come hang out on Instagram, the Human Design Hedge Witch, and I'll see you, or speak to you, should I say, next week. Okay, bye.